Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Journey in Light with Reverend John White, a registered medium in Lilydale, New York. Tonight, we're going to discuss, as always, mystical topics, connecting with loved ones in spirit, including your pets in spirit. John will be teaching several workshops this summer at Lilydale, July 19th, 2018, from 7 to 10 p.m. Learn how to integrate Eastern spiritual disciplines and enhance your intuition and mediumship. And then on Labor Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he will be doing Akashic Records, astral travel, connecting with your higher self, your spirits, and angels. John?
Okay. Well, hello out there from downtown Lilydale, New York. I'd like to welcome all our calls from England, Australia, Canada, and all over America. Here is Lilydale, and Lilydale season is opening very soon. And if you'd like to phone in tonight's show, phone in at 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818. You know, Joyce, we have every Sunday night during the season at 8:30 p.m. in the Healing Temple, we have what is known as a home circle. And it lasts for about an hour and a half. And we love it to teach people to open up their higher self, the natural laws about mediumship, and who your spirit guides and angels are. Now, why do we get people to open up their higher self? Well, you know, your higher self is your spirit that's in you that knows more about you. And since like attracts like, when you do open up your higher self, you'll attract higher beings of light. Now, within that higher self, there is something called the Akashic Records. So the Akashic Records means your soul's history, the sacred contracts. Now, what are sacred contracts? Sacred contracts are the agreements that you made with God before you came into the world at this time. And within those sacred contracts, there are insights into the types of relationships you attract, who your spirit guides are, what your natural talents are, and what type of family, religion, education, and all sorts of other things that you agreed to before you came into this world, and also, by the way, your gender. And when we get to open up our higher self, when in the words of Jesus said, these things I can do, you can do also, and even the least among you can do all that I do and even more. And so when you open up your higher self, you also open up what is known as the gifts of the Spirit. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about the ability to discern the Spirit, it's in Corinthians. That means mediumship, getting to know who your spirit guides are, being able to sense your relatives, and being able to communicate with them. So every Sunday night, we teach people how to become intuitively literate. That means we teach you how the intuitive higher mind thinks. And as you know, the higher mind thinks in these three areas. The higher mind thinks in the area of connecting with the spirit guides and angels, connecting with your own soul and your own being, and connecting to the unconditional love that's inside of you. And through the modalities of seeing clairvoyantly, which is called clairvoyance, hearing intuitively, which is called clairaudience. Here's an unusual word, clairgustience, simply means intuitively smelling and tasting. And then, of course, we have what is known as clairsention. That means feeling. And so those are the things that we teach. And those are the natural talents that whether you're channeling your higher self or channeling a spirit guide or an angel, communicating, or even giving a psychic reading. Those are the five modalities of intuition that you are working for. Now, the purpose of all these things is to awaken you. Now, there is a type of meditation that is called mindfulness. The word Buddha literally means to be awake. So I'll say that again. The word Buddha literally means to be awake. And so we are here at Lilydale to awaken you to your higher self and your higher possibilities and your higher potentials. And so join me every Sunday night during the season at 8:30 at the Healing Temple. And I just want to say one simple little thing about the course that we're teaching on Eastern spiritual disciplines. I was in India recently, and I studied with Swami Vishnu Sivananda in Montreal, Canada. And I've always used yoga, breathing exercises, the different mantras, the different chants, and the different Eastern spiritual techniques to enhance mediumship. And so that's what we're going to be doing with you and teaching you is on July the 19th at 7 o'clock. And so I believe we have our special guest tonight, and Joyce is here to tell you all about her.
Joining us tonight is Stephanie Picano from Hollywood, Florida. Stephanie is one of the owners of Crystal Vision, where they do Reiki circles, which are incredibly popular every Friday night, and educate people about all sorts of metaphysical topics, crystals, healing. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Oh, my gosh. What an honor. What a pleasure to be joining you guys this evening. How are both of you doing up in the cold, cold weather? Not to rub it in.
We're doing fine. As I'm actually gazing out at the window, oh, my God. What's that white stuff on the ground, Joyce? Well, it's snow.
We have a four-letter word down here.
What was the four-letter word?
I'm sorry, John. I was going to say we have a four-letter word that starts with S, but ours is sand.
Ah, okay. Well, Stephanie, we know that you really do understand crystals and gemstones, and also you are also a Reiki healer, aren't you?
I am. I became a Reiki master under my grandmother, Myrna Farbiash. She had started the center down here in South Florida in the late 80s, and she was predominantly one of the first people to integrate and bring Reiki to our community here. And we've been a school for 27 years, and I got my mastership somewhere right around my mid-20s.
Okay.
And Stephanie, you actually have several Lilydale mediums who've been coming down for a long time. Besides John, you also have Patty Bell, right? How did you guys get connected with these amazing Lilydale mediums?
Well, I think, I think about when my grandparents started, and I joke about it, but, I mean, John can definitely be a testament to it. You know, in the 70s and the 80s, if you were connected to spirituality or if you were connected to somebody who was a medium or did readings or were into crystals, you were kind of either cliche or you were kind of in the hippie group. And I think this intermit community formed these amazing relationships with people. And I think looking back and just to see even where we've grown now, I think you came across these different individuals, whether it was conferences or expos, and you really got to see their authentic self. And, you know, just to speak a moment for John, you know, and I could be a few years on or off, but I know that John's been coming to us for over 25 years, and I'd be interested to hear the conversation of how he came to my grandparents. But year after year, people look forward to seeing John, now, of course, Joy, and it's such an experience, and you get to really tell that when you sit with somebody, especially of both of your guys' standards and stuff like that and quality, it's for the person. You know, you're doing what you're doing because you have passion and you have purpose, And so, you know, getting the experience to sit down, and I know people who come in year after year and actually save the audio tapes that John provides and will compare from year to year, and the phone calls that we get just talking to us about how amazing and how so many things are accurate within the reading. And so it's been a pleasure and an honor. John, how did you and my grandparents meet, and how did you connect?
Well, I believe Myrna, knew Patricia Bell.
And, yes.
Because, you know, Patricia Bell used to live there in Hollywood, Florida. And Patricia Bell knew you. And that's how I got to come over and to meet your grandparents and to begin to work there. Has it been 25 years?
I'd probably have to say a little longer. We're celebrating 31 years this year, and I know that I think when Dr. Patricia and I Bell speak, that she's been coming to us for a little over 28 or 29 of those 31 years. So I have to probably say it's right within that interspectrum. I mean, I've been with my grandparents for 15 of those years, and you've been there since I've been there, so it has to be somewhere close to those numbers, but, you know, time goes quick.
All righty then.
Now, one of the remarkable things about your center is just the people that are drawn to the Reiki. I mean, you guys really have something unique. I've been to a lot of metaphysical centers, and I have never quite seen anything like it. On Friday nights, I mean, you're packed. You have maybe 60 or 70 people sometimes, and I know that, you know, in part because of the classes you teach. And I actually want to just take a moment to recognize, to ask you to tell people about the special cat that you have that I understand sometimes actually meows words. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
You know, it's having faith in the universe. I wasn't a kitty cat person, and where our centers were a cabin building, but behind us a little bit, there's some residential properties. And I guess the family had moved out, and they left their kitty. And she's really not a kitty. She's probably somewhere around 7 or 8 years old. And she would just come by, and she was getting so weathered and so skinny. And we kind of brought her in because the hurricane had happened right around October, November of last year. And ever since then, she had an vet and, of course, taking care of her, but she has been a staple. And she comes into Reiki circles, which, yes, on Friday nights at 7:30, we have somewhere around 60 to 70 people. Some nights, you know, it's 30 or 40. It just depends on the evening. And she comes and she walks through the crowd and she sits in the middle of the pyramid. And she literally goes up to almost everybody, giving unconditional love. And that's what we kind of represent. You know, somebody was asking me the other day, how did you get into the store? And for me, when I was 21 years old, it was kind of like a fill-in. And as my grandfather became sick, my grandmother and I said, what are we going to do? And we decided that there's not too many places around that provide people with educational, responsible, reliable information. There's not too many places that are just unconditional love. And there wasn't or there isn't too many Reiki schools. And so, you know, once you can allow yourself to follow the flow of the universe, you know, like people say to me, oh, you're one of the owners. I'm like, no, I'm the guardian. And it's just the higher consciousness of allowing yourself to connect and kind of go where you're supposed to go and flow where you're supposed to flow.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, yes, I heard the cat when I was down there said, meow, I love you. I, honest to God, I wasn't making it up. Okay.
You're
also very literate with crystals, because you have, actually in Hollywood, Florida, you have one of the most beautiful crystal stores there. Can you talk a little bit about crystals? And how did you come into crystals?
So it's funny, when I first started at the store, for me, I was from college, and so my spirituality side hadn't really, you know, my grandparents are Jewish, my parents are Christian, and spirituality fell in the middle. All I knew is I was attracted to them, but I never took one home, or I never put one, as we call it in the store, in our box. And one day, one of our vendors, our distributors, gave me my first crystal, and from then, it was instant connection. And as you take your journey on spirituality, and you take your journey about yourself, you understand that things like crystals are tools, and they all have a different purpose. And, you know, when people come in and they'll ask me to pick out a specific stone for them, I ask them, You know, are you having specific issues? Do you have sleeping issues? Do you have anxiety? Do you have, you know, are you working on self-love? And then there's go-to stones, you know. But when people come in, we are one of the largest crystal stores in South Florida, and we have such a wide variety and such a range for everybody's budget. And you come in and you allow yourself to find that space of connection, and you walk around, and whether it's based on color or texture or the vibration that you're receiving from the stone, you find yourself connected. And then, you know, whether it's through intuition, which is always our first and foremost, but for those of us who like to be able to read something, you can then educate yourself in one of the crystal Bibles or the Book of Stones, and then you become familiar with the properties, and you're like, man, that's exactly what I needed. And so, you know, for instance, tourmaline is a protection stone. Selenite is a clearing stone. Rose quartz, unconditional love. Kyanite, protector. It works on all of our chakras, and it's a great communication stone. And now as we've developed and we understand these vibrations and we understand the connection, we co-associate certain stones with certain chakra spaces. You know, apostolite is a great meditation stone. I was listening to one of your CDs the other day, and you said meditating is so beneficial because it allows the change. And by adding a crystal such as an apophyllite or a selenite or a kunzite, you really allow your third eye and your crown to open. And for those who may not understand, that means energetically you're allowing those energy wheels to open up and allowing that vibration to come in and fine-tune the things that are already being present. And so adding crystals is an excellent way to be able to increase your vibrations, to help you feel balanced. You know, they are gifts from the universe, from God. You know, they were placed into this earth. And from probably the beginning of both even basic stuff such as watches, computers, televisions, they all use quartz or diamonds. Back in the day, they used to put rubies and sapphires in the old train watches. And the ironic thing is I can remember going through some of my great-great-grandmother's jewelry and coming across crystals. And I mean, I'm thinking this jewelry came from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, when they, I am sure, did not associate the properties that we associate with these stones that we do today. But intuitively, people were connected and are connected to stones from the beginning of time.
Wow. Well, actually, we have Caitlin from Rhode Island who texted us a question for you, Stephanie. She says she's interested in increasing her prosperity. Is there a particular stone or stones that she should work with?
So hello, Caitlin from Rhode Island. Yes. So I'm going to recommend citrine, which is a stone for prosperity and abundance. It is also known as the bringer of the sun. But it's also a mindset. You know, having crystals and using the vibrations for what it's going to offer are tools along our journey. But, you know, being able to write small affirmations, I am abundant, I am prosperous, and defining what that means, because for some of us it's monetary and for some of us it's abundant in a variety of other areas of our life. And so the other thing with citrine is the Chinese and feng shui believe that your furthest left corner is your money corner from your front door. So if you walk into your house, your furthest corner from where your entrance is, your furthest left corner, for us it's a back storage cabinet. So I actually just have a tumble piece taped to the wall. But you can place citrine there, and it attracts wealth and abundance. And you can also, if you run a business, you can place it in your office. You can put it inside your cash register drawer. Some people I know carry it in their wallet. Cinnabar is another great stone for your cash register. But it's a combination. So use it as a tool if you identify and you find yourself connected with citrine. But, you know, give yourself little incentives too. Those affirmations are great. Waking up in the mindset, something that I do or I find myself doing every so often, as soon as I wake up, I visualize the kind of lifestyle that I want to lead, what my purpose is, what my passion is. And so visualizing, giving that seed inside your brain, the notion that it is okay to accept abundance, because, you know, some of us want it, but, you know, we are not open to receiving. So open ourselves up, allow ourselves, be willing to receive, and then allow your abundance to start flowing.
That's beautiful. Now, you mentioned feng shui and also crystals.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit more about that? For instance, this may be unusual question. You know, we have a lot of lovers out there in the world, and so what would be the stone to have in the bedroom, perhaps, for unconditional love?
So, for instance, inside the bedroom, you can use rose quartz, you can use rhodonite. But the secret that a lot of people sometimes negate is you need a pair. You know, it's two rose quartz, two rhodonite, two rhodochrosites, whatever it is you're indicating pair. And not only are you bringing that pair in, normally it's on the right side. I keep mine on the right side of my bedroom. You can incorporate shapes such as hearts, which signify that unconditional love. You can write a message that's very specific, whether you want to write it to the universe or God, whomever you feel comfortable writing the message to. You can be specific as to what you would like pertaining to unconditional love. And, you know, of course, we always want for our best and our highest. And so incorporating the stones to create that vibration, bringing in a salt lamp is also really, really nice because it changes the element and the tone and the vibration in the room. When you shut the light out, some people can put like something in front of it if it's too bright, but leaving the essence and the aura. So if you wake up in between sleeping, it just creates that glow vibration of pink, which is that soft, feminine, loving energy.
Oh yeah, we have several salt lamps, including salt lamps, night lights on the way to the bathroom and in the bathroom, and it's perfect. It's perfect.
It is
perfect. A warm glow.
You know what? And this is from my own standpoint, not even from the romance or the unconditional love standpoint, but when you wake up and you're kind of in that translucent between sleep and awake, and you wake up to that pink glow, I swear to you, it brings me back to like being inside my mother's womb. And I know that sounds far, but because that light is such a fine vibration, when you first wake, it's like, wow, it's just, yes, I love it.
And you know what, I find it especially especially helpful up here in Western New York where, you know, we have the lake effect snow and it's so gray so much of the time, dark and gray, and we really need that light and color to help with our moods.
Now,
yes.
what type of stone would you have in your meditation room?
Well, I think it depends. You know, your meditation room, your altar, it's a sacred space. I first and foremost, I grid my house. You have the option of either gridding your house, which I recommend tourmaline protection selenite for the white light. Gridding is where you're creating a vortex of energy to anchor the energy and then to also lift the vibration. If you haven't done so in your house, your meditation room or your meditation space is a really great place to be able to do that. It just creates, literally, if you can envision a square on the floor, bringing up Mother Earth's energy and then regrounding anything that doesn't serve you. And so your altar is your sacred space. So if you are really connected, and not that one person is more connected or less connected than another, but if you practice more, it's like, you know, riding a bike. You don't necessarily forget it, but the more you do it, the better you are at it. If you meditate regularly, if you do breathing work on a regular basis, you may be open and available to some of the finer vibration crystals, such as an aquamarine in a gem quality crystal, or a kunzite, or moldavite. Moldavite is a stone that has landed in Czech Republic, and it's actually from a meteorite, but it crystallized because of the soil. But if you are beginning and you're new to meditation, you may want to start at some of the grandmother and mother stones, as I call them. You know, you may want to incorporate a clear quartz, or you may want to incorporate iolite, which is for your third eye, or you may want to even do amethyst. Amethyst is a great protection stone. It's a great intuitive stone. It's a great third eye stone. And those basic stones start you at a easier vibration. Sometimes when people work with some of the stones, like I mentioned, like the kunzite or the moldavite, they have to start with increments because of the vibration and the pull that it has. So depending what you want to bring in, depending on how you're breaking your room down, if it's elemental or with a certain theme, you can definitely incorporate on your needs and your wants for your room.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. And I just want to remind our callers, if you would like to, I'm sorry, our listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask questions either to Stephanie or John, the number is 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. And we are talking with special guest Stephanie Picano, one of the owners/guardians of Crystal Vision in Hollywood, Florida. And she is speaking about crystals and metaphysical topics and healing and all of the above. So if you'd like to call in, it's 818-739-8818. And next we have a caller from Hollywood, Florida, actually. Her name is Lisa. And she has a question for you, John, about a loved one in spirit. Lisa, you there with us?
Yes, I'm still here. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Lisa. How are you tonight, honey?
Holding up. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Did you know? I knew the man that passed on. I never met him, but I knew him because I know you, and you've talked about him. But I'm thinking of his mother. Do you know? This may sound silly, but I'm getting a feeling of him. But I get a feeling of he's with his mother. Did he ever talk about his mother?
The answer is. Qualified, I saw a picture of her today when his daughter was here at the house going through stuff, through her father's stuff. And she said, this is my grandmother and my mother. Yes.
Beautiful.
But no, he didn't really speak other than they owned a hotel on Miami Beach back in the day. And he was 26 years my senior. And I'm just curious because I signed some papers today and the family came in and they're frantically looking for an actual will. But Jack's former secretary said that I'm on some kind of life insurance policy. I signed a paper with my full Social Security number. And I just had to go on the trust factor. I just want to know, is there something in this house that Jack wants me to find? And I won't, and that's Jack Packer. And am I really on the life insurance policy? Because I haven't seen one piece of paperwork telling me of such.
Okay, just let me focus now. So when I choose... into you, I had an impression of his mother, okay, and she's telling me that she was, although you never met her, she was very fond of you, okay. Now I need to ask you a question. Did Jack have a safety deposit box?
Not in the house that I'm aware of. I would believe that it would be at the bank, and I don't have any access to that because we are not married. We were companions.
Okay, because the reason why I'm asking is that I'm getting a feeling of some documents that are in a safety deposit box. Okay. Now, did you know any of Jack's lawyer friends?
Yes. And one of them happens to be, he specializes in ejection in the office where he rented space. And
I realize that you can't just walk in the bank and ask for to get into accounts. But I get a feeling that there is a lawyer that Jack knew, and it must be one of the lawyers that he worked with. It sounds like that person knew, but would have known the bank basically where Jack had things. But in order for you to get in there, you have to get a lawyer to fill out. You have to get a lawyer to do that. Of course, you just can't walk in that. I don't really feel as though there's anything in the house. Okay, I don't feel as though there's anything in the house.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize.
Okay, but when I tuned into you, I really got a really nice feeling from his mother. And the other side of that message is that Jack's back home again with his mom. Okay,
Do you know if Jack had a brother?
Jack was an only child.
Okay, well, I get a feeling his mother had a miscarriage, and because I'm also sensing a spirit on the other side of life that sounds like it's his brother. Now, I know this doesn't make any sense to you at this time, but I do feel as though you'll hear about this from another source. The whole point is that Jack is back with his family, okay? And so, again, the feeling that I get is that I get a feeling of I'm looking at a document, but it's in the bank, okay? So, basically, you need to get a lawyer in order to help you to have access to that. Okay, thank you very much for calling us tonight.
Okay. You're listening to Journey of Light with Reverend John White in Lilydale, New York, with special guest Stephanie Bacano, owner/guardian of Crystal Vision in Hollywood, Florida. If you'd like to call in with a question or to share a story about a metaphysical topic or a miraculous healing, we would love to hear from you. 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. And Stephanie, you're so gifted with your knowledge about crystals and all their properties. For someone like our last caller, who's grieving a lot, is there any particular crystals or stones that would be good, you know, to have around, you know, for like a healing energy?
Yes. You know, so often when we lose somebody, we also lose our role, and how that's defined is how she's not a wife, but she's a companion. And so when you lose somebody, you find yourself in a space of loss, and you're also trying to regain yourself, and you're trying to also process this grief. Apache tears is a wonderful, wonderful stone for grief, for processing. But I'd also really incorporate it once again with something like a rose quartz for unconditional love, because in this time, she needs to really love herself so she can find herself in a mental space. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've heard that saying, when you're on the airplane and the air masks drop down and the picture is for you to put it on first. And the truth is, because it is our goal, it is our orientation as a person to help somebody else first. And so, you know, in this process, you know, she's in the midst of talking, of course, with his children and stuff like that. And there's probably a lot of questions and stuff like that. But for herself, just a sense of security, also tiger's eye for courage and strength. So those would be my three go-tos. I would do Apache tear for grief and for sorrow. I would do rose quartz for unconditional love for her heart space, to just feel safe and protected and loved. And I would definitely incorporate even maybe selenite, because it's a white light and it's a healing stone, it's a cleansing stone, just to keep her aura cleared and cleansed of everything that's going on, and that tiger's eye for courage and strength.
Okay, thank you. Now, should you wear the stone next to your skin, or is it powerful enough just to walk around with it?
So, for instance, I get this question all the time. Does size matter? Does, you know, if it's in a pendant and the back is sealed versus being fully able to lay on the skin, does it matter? So a lot of times it comes down to preference for a variety of things. But when you are wearing a stone or you're carrying a skin, you need to have it in order for you to absorb the energy, especially if it's a smaller piece or if it's a pendant. You need to have it in your aura field. And your auric field goes out as far as your hand. If you put your hand out in front of you like a stop sign or point your finger straight, if you put your hand above your head, to the left, to the right, down, behind you, that is your aura space. And I explain that as, you know, when you look up at the beautiful full moon and you see that aura or that halo around the moon, that's kind of like us walking around as like little energy vibrations and beams. And so if you want to absorb the properties of the stone, then you need to carry it within that space. So that space for me, if I stick my hand out, my night table's right there. I leave my stones on the night table. I put them under my pillow or I carry them on me. Stones that touch your skin, prefer it. I like to be able to feel the cold or the warmth as the stone heats up from my body temperature. But there's sometimes, especially with some of the jewelers, depending on where you get it from, will actually enclose the back of the stone. does it affect the stone? The stone is so powerful that it's going to absorb and it's going to vibrate. That piece of metal is not going to change it, whether it's sterling or gold or platinum, whatever you're encasing it in. Sometimes if you are enjoying the vibrations, because metals hold a vibration too, it's a grounding vibration, you may need that extra piece of silver or gold on the back to be able to ground you and root you. Gold is an amplification, silver is a grounder and a cleanser. But for me personally, I like my stones open. And then, for instance, once you get into the larger stones, you can put those in your community area, such as your living room or your kitchen or your bedroom or your office. And in that space, those larger stones, especially if it's a cathedral and the points point out, it's literally like fine little laser beams just pointing outside of the stone. And so it fills
beautiful.
That area. Yes. So wearing it open back, wearing it closed, it's completely based on preference. And how you feel when you put on the stone.
Now, some people like to clean their stones. Is there any way of some people put it in the sun, some people do it with sea salt. Is there any suggestions you can give people to clean the vibration or the energy of the stone?
So I explain energy is not good or bad. It's just not your own. And so when you are either cleansing the stones from all of the kind of what I call debris buildup, you can do it a variety of ways. Some books talk about soaking your stones in salt water. Now, I am giving you my recommendation based on my own instincts and based on what I do for myself. If I go to the beach, I never bring my stone to the water. I bring the water to me for a variety of reasons. You can lose your stone in the ocean. And you don't want the water to sit too long on the stone. Not only losing your stone, but some stones are water soluble, so you don't want them to become wet or submerged for a long time. But if so, I bring a little cup of water and I either pour it over the stone so it kind of cascades over it, or I'll do a quick little rinse if I put the stone inside of the cup or whatever I'm using. And I will very rarely or just very quickly use the water element to just cleanse the stone. Normally I do kosher salt or sea salt. You put it in a cup or a container and you cover the stone. Sage is also really an awesome way to cleanse your stone. It's a quicker way. Sun and moon, yes, the moon charges, the sun cleanses and charges as well. You have to be careful with the sun, though. If your stone is a stone like an amethyst or a rose quartz or a citrine, over the course of time, the sun can actually pull the color from your stone. So you want to be careful. I either recommend, you know, that first AM light that happens somewhere between that 7 and 8:30 time slot before the sun is fully peaked, or, of course, any time in any of the full moons. I even put my stones out sometimes when it's not full moon just for that energy. So once again, based on your choice, you can also use Palo Santo, but I never submerge or leave my crystal soaked. For me, that's a no-no. I don't want the water staying in some, you know, some of the stones aren't fully polished. You can get the water to stay in there and have, I've heard of mold growing on crystals. For me, cleansing, saging, or the kosher salt or sea salt is the best. Or you can also,
beautiful.
I'm so sorry, I almost forgot the best way also. You can use another stone. If you have a selenite plate or if you have an apophyllite plate or you have a tourmaline plate, you can actually put your stones, your pendants or your rings across the stone. And I always leave it for about 12 hours, 12 to 24 hours, and it will cleanse your stone. It will charge your stone. And so it's stone-to-stone cleansing.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now, we actually have an email from a pregnant lady, someone who's getting ready to welcome a new soul into the world. And so it's a dual question, one for Stephanie, one for John. And so, Stephanie, the question for you would be, you know, what crystal or crystals would be good to have around this pregnant person? And John, the question for you, this is Margaret. Margaret's from Pelham, New Hampshire, and she wants to know if you could tune in and tell her if she's going to have a boy or a girl, will she move somewhere warm, and will she marry her current boyfriend, and what should she name her baby?
Okay. Well, Stephanie, if you have any suggestions with all this, you know, just cut in here anytime, okay? But Stephanie, let's ask you first. What about, now I get a feeling of a male child, but sometimes it's hard to tell because, you know, when we're in the womb at the beginning, we're neither male or female, but I can tell that this child has a beautiful brain, is extremely extremely intelligent, and also has a good ear for music, and that's what I feel. But Stephanie, what type of stone do you feel as though could help a mother in the process of having a child?
Well, one of my go-tos, it's what I recommend to most of the mothers that come in. It's what I used. It was moonstone. Moonstone, it's the calmness of the ocean. It's the tide and the vibration between the celestial and that higher vibration. But most of all, it's a feminine stone. It's an ease of birth stone. So whether, for instance, it's natural or C-section, they won't take the stone from you. You can actually keep it in the palm of your hand. It helps with the ease of birth process. And it's also a mothering stone. So it's a really nice combination to be able to bring in with you. You can pick it out prior to, of course, going into labor, pack it in your overnight bag or your hospital bag that you're going to bring with you. And then just have it as one of your focus go-to tools once you're in the hospital. Some ladies get wands so they can actually massage their belly ahead of time with it and stuff like that. But I definitely recommend moonstone. Moonstone is an awesome stone, and the best part is it helps with the birth process.
Wow, thank you.
Beautiful. To the person, they're asking whether they should move to a warmer climate or if they're going to have a chance. Yes, it is a warmer climate, but I don't believe it's Florida because I saw horses. I seem to be looking at horses. I don't know if this is Kentucky, but I seem to be down in the south there, but I'm not quite at Florida, Florida time. Okay.
Okay. What about the other question? Is she going to marry her boyfriend?
Well, that's, you know, something she needs to do that herself. I'm not going to ask that question.
Okay. And the last one, you know, there's a book called Expecting Adam by Martha Beck, which is an absolutely amazing book. It's a true story about, you know, Harvard professors who were atheists after growing up very fundamentalist Christian. And when this woman got pregnant, she had a feeling that there was going to be something wrong with the baby, something, you know, developmentally wrong. And in any event, these two atheists who did not believe in anything, you know, metaphysical or spiritual, started having these metaphysical experiences. And one of the things that happened to her and to her husband, who was in Japan at the time while she was in Boston, they both independently had a visit from the soul of the baby to come, and they both independently knew his name was Adam. They knew his name was Adam, and he was already there, and you know, they recognized him from, they didn't know where, but they both recognized him. Now, John, do you pick up this little child to come into the world is already someone that is recognized or someone who?
Well, now we have to get into what is known as Akashic Records or the sacred contracts. The children and all the beings that are in our lives, this was agreed to before we came into the world. Okay? And I just know that this child is beautiful. And, okay, this may sound silly. This child is a little bit of a ham, even though they're not here yet. And I get a feeling of they're very academically intelligent. And so, yes, the man that the man that
Margaret,
and also the man's name is
Ian.
Ian, okay, that they are this child's parents, okay, and I get a feeling that in the future she may also have a little girl. By the way, I just thought I would throw that in. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much, John and Stephanie. We have several calls.
Do you mind if I say something?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, honey.
I was just going to say something else that you can do. It was something that somebody told me, which I didn't even think of doing. I couldn't think of a name for my own daughter, and one of our readers said to me, well, why don't you ask her? And I said, oh, that just seems so simple. And that night I went home, and I spoke to her, and I prayed, and intuitively I connected with her spirit, and believe it or not, that's where I got our daughter's name Naya from. I woke up probably a week or two after that in the middle of the night with the name in my head. And so you can ask what, you know, your little baby inside your belly, what he or she wants to be named, and hopefully they'll be able to communicate it with you, and you'll be able to tell a similar story.
That's just a beautiful story. You know, I want to tell a story also about this. My daughter has a child, and the child is approximately just a little over a year. And the child came to visit me in a dream before she showed up. Stephanie, did this beautiful child that you have, and I know your beautiful child, she's a beautiful child. Did you have any other dreams of her before she showed up?
I did not have any dreams of her prior. And once again, until I had asked her what she wanted to be named, and at that point I did know that I was having a little girl, that was the first time that I really, like, thought of, wow, yes, she's in my belly and all these things are going through, especially as a first-time mother. But to be able to intuitively connect like that was the first time, and no, unlike you, I did not have a dream prior.
Okay. We're going to have people, there's a lot of people on the line that want to speak to you, so here we go.
Okay, next we have Randy and a couple of students actually who have joined her to ask you guys some psychic spiritual questions. Randy, are you there?
Yes, baby, I'm here.
Okay.
How are you, John, my love?
And how are you? And
I am wonderful.
So,
I'm wonderful.
Now
hey, John,
now you
listen.
Know that yes, you know, Stephanie's on the line, too. Stephanie's on the line,
Beth,
also.
How you doing?
Hello, Randy.
Okay.
Nice to speak with you.
What is the question, Randy?
Well, John, I have three of my students here that would like to ask you a quick question.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pass the phone. Tell him your name.
Hi there. My name is Abhishek. Last name is Dugo. And I am living in Florida, South Florida, for the last 8 months. My question is about my relationship. I'm not clear about my relationship, what's going on in my life. I just wanted to see if you get any messages for that.
So you're asking about a loving relationship. Is that what you're doing?
Correct.
Okay. Do you want to say the name of the relationship so I can tune into them, person?
I recently broke up with my ex-girlfriend, so I don't have anyone right now, but I would like to get a message.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, did she do yoga?
Yes, and I'm a yoga teacher, too.
Okay, so I just want to... Well, I get a feeling of you're going to attract someone who does yoga and also meditation. And I also get a feeling you'll attract someone who's also very much interested in Reiki healing. Now, you know, when we're doing this, we're in our timeless mind, so I can't really give you a time on this, but it's really kind of neat that we tuned into right away that you would attract a person that would be in yoga and also a person that... would be interested in Reiki healing. Okay, and so that's what I really have for you right now. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there another question? Thank you.
Yes, John. Hold on, honey.
Tell him your name. Hi, John. My name is Kimberly Mitchell, and
I
have a question regarding my daughter. She's 14, and
yes,
I'm having some trouble just, like, reading her and, like, knowing what she's feeling. Can you tell me how can I...
Okay, so Susan, go visit your daughter. I find her thinking about her father, and she doesn't seem to be too happy. So So again, Susan, tune into your daughter. I'm in her mind, and she seems to be a little bit of sad, okay? It's as if, you know, she doesn't feel as though she's being paid attention to enough by her dad. Do you understand that?
Completely.
Okay.
Completely.
So that's what's going on. You know, that's what's going on. So it's really up to the father, trying to get the father to be a little bit more sensitive that his daughter does need him, and his daughter does need his attention. Okay. Now, there's other personal things I want to say, but I'm not gonna say them over the air, okay? But I do know that this child of yours is. I just saw her doing sports. How old is this child of yours?
14.
Okay. Is she interested in sports at all now? Okay. Well, I got a feeling she'll be meeting a young man that's around 2 years older than her that is very much interested in sports. So that will be a good thing for her. Okay? Now, again, a friend. Now, listen, there's a difference between a male friend and a boyfriend, okay? So I'm not talking about a boyfriend. Okay? I'm talking about a male friend. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, honey. Okay,
thank you.
We have time for one more question.
Okay, I'm going to give you to her. Tell him your name,
hon. Hi, my name is Marla.
Okay, Marla, how can we help you?
Well, I've been stuck in a sort of a bad cycle that I believe has been happening over multiple lives, with two of my ex-boyfriends.
Okay.
And I know it sounds a lot like that, but one of my ex-boyfriends. I've been working with multiple people to remove something that he placed on me. And anyway, so I just was wondering, I've been working really hard
What's his name, honey?
His name is Simon.
Okay. You know, when I go visit Simon, I realize, when I go visit Simon, I feel as though I'm in his emotions, I'm in his mind, and I feel basically he's very immature, okay?
Yeah.
So you should not be afraid of someone who is very immature, okay? Now,
right.
If you feel as though he's put something on you, the only thing that you could do is send love back to him, because what he wants you to do is that he wants you to be afraid of him, okay?
Right.
And so if you buy into that and you play along with that, then he's got you. But if you realize that he's really very insecure and you just simply send him love and pray for him, then basically you will break the cycle. Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Next we have a caller from Erie, Pennsylvania. We have Vince on the line. He wants to know, how can you truly tell if you're getting a message from Spirit or if it's just your mind? Vince, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Vince. Well, hi, Vince. It really has to do with practice. Here's one of Einstein's saying. It's all energy. That's all there is to it. It's a frequency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question. You know, someone can play music, and there are some people who could say, you know, that music is in the key of C. The rest of us just hear sound. But you can actually educate yourself to actually be able to know what the particular note is. And so every thought in your head is also a vibration, okay? So with practice, you can learn how to tell the difference between an intuitive thought and a rational thought, and the difference between you thinking perhaps of your grandfather or your grandfather thinking of you. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Okay. You're listening to Journey of Light with Reverend John White and Stephanie Picano, owner/guardian of Crystal Vision in Hollywood, Florida. And we have one more caller. This is Mike from Tampa, and he has a metaphysical question for you, John.
Okay, Mike, how are you tonight?
Hey, John, how's it going?
Okay, finally got through. Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Okay, I wanted to ask you about the clarity and discernment of spirits.
Okay, well,
how does that actually come together in your mind and the way you structure it out?
I knew this very beautiful healer. Her name is Catherine Kuhlman, and she passed on quite a few years ago. And she said, you know, think of yourself like a beautiful musical instrument. If you show up in tune, then the angels will come and play through you. So it is your responsibility to do the meditation, to do whatever you need to do to show up in tune, and then your mind will be clear. Okay? Then your mind will be clear.
Okay, that's Catherine Kuhlman.
Yes, yes, a very famous healer. Very famous healer.
Yeah, I think I remember stuff about her a long time ago.
Yeah, we're the ones that are responsible for showing up in tune. So obviously, now let me ask you this question, which I love asking people. Do you know of any spiritual master teacher who doesn't meditate?
There aren't any.
Thank you. So that's like me asking you, do you know of anybody who's academically very intelligent who never learned how to read and write? So, Mike, we're talking about literacy. There's intuitive literacy and academic literacy. So if you practice meditation and you open up that and part of that what is called your higher self, you will start to become intuitively literate. And, of course, the other thing is that, remember, you don't have to invent the wheel. So if you find somebody else who knows how to do that and you train with them, and then you can figure out how they think and how they get it, you can do the same thing. And that's exactly what we teach here at Lilydale. I'm so pleased that you got to phone in tonight, Mike. Sorry that we can't spend more time with you. Please phone in again. We'll have a longer conversation. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Good night.
And we do have a question that came in by email. This is from Jill in Erie, Pennsylvania, and she has a question for you about a business that she's involved with. She has two partners, and they're not the best partners in the world for her, and she wants to know if you can tune in and see if her partners will buy her out, which is what she's hoping for.
Hello, are you there?
An email.
Oh, hi, it's an email, sorry. Okay. Well, one of her partners is broke and is not a very good accountant, so that's not going to work. And the other one wants to buy her out, but doesn't have the money right now. And so that's that. So it doesn't look like it's happening right now.
Okay. Her other question is, do you see when this will happen?
Well, I don't believe it's happening with either one of these people. Okay? So I feel as though she's going to have to hang on to it for a while.
Okay. And we have just about 2 minutes left on the show. You're listening to Journey of Light with Reverend John White and special guest Stephanie Picano. Stephanie, are you still with us?
Yes, of course. It's been such an honor and so interesting to listen as John handles each of the calls. And, you know, it's such a special space because John is so authentic. He lives and breathes what he's talking about. And for him to be able to help these people who are calling this evening, it's wonderful to sit on the other side and listen in and just hear the way that he helps everyone.
Now, Stephanie, while you're on the line, do you have any classes coming up? Or would you like to give, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, for those of you that use social media, we're really big on Instagram. We're really big on Facebook. Our website is crystalvisionltc.com, where you can follow us on any of our social media platforms. We do contests. We do informational videos all the time, and that's Crystal Vision LTC. You can submit any questions that you have about crystals or anything like that to our DMs. And it's been such an honor and pleasure to join you guys this evening.
You know, guys, I realize how knowledgeable you are with these crystals. That's really beautiful. That's really beautiful.
Well, thank you, John.
And, of course, and we want to acknowledge Jean and also Myrna. That's your grandparents,
you,
right? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. You know, it's funny that you said that, and I know we're winding down, so I'm going to make it quick, but we were at the Yoga Expo over the weekend, and one of the gentlemen who puts on the Life Expo shows came by, and he said to me, "Your grandfather started with us at one of our first shows. Please know he was a pioneer in this business." And, you know, to stop and think, and it even gives me goosebumps, and you talking about him and my grandmother, I'm just so appreciative that this is where the universe has led me.
Okay. God bless you. And thank you very much for joining us tonight, Stephanie. See you soon.
Yes, of course. Good night, John. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night now. Okay. So from Lilydale, New York, the largest spiritualist community in the world, we'd like to thank you for tuning into Journeys of the Light.